Isaiah chapter 45, verses 2 and 3 tonight. I'm gonna talk to you one more time on the vision of our ministry. Amen. The vision of our ministry. I think it's very important for us as a church to understand our vision, and that our vision is based through the Word of God. Amen. And last Sunday, I was able to share on the topic of vision, and I came out of the Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, which is called the Great Commission. And this is where Jesus commissioned the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that he taught them. And when it all boils down to it, that's what the vision is all about, is to go make disciples. Yeah. So I shared it out of that verse on Sunday. Tonight, I want to come out of our promise scriptures. If you're new to Victory Outreach, you're new to our church, we have promises. We have promised scriptures that the Lord gave us over 54 years ago, when the ministry started, when the ministry was barely starting, and when Pastor Sonny, our founder, started this ministry, Victory Outreach, and there in East Los Angeles, there in the ghetto in East Los Angeles, in his apartment, amen, and, it was really the projects, and he started the church right there. He really started to bring in the people from the streets, a lot of the drug addicts, that started to come in, and they would listen. It was almost like a Bible study. And as he began to preach to them, all of a sudden his apartment got filled with nothing but drug addicts, people from the streets, gang members, and they were getting saved. They got saved. They gave their life to the Lord. And that's how the ministry was birthed, amen, from such a small beginning until where we're at today, a worldwide ministry with over 500 churches and ministries all over the world, amen. And so... But at the beginning, you know, it wasn't easy. And there was times where Pastor Sonny got real discouraged, you know. Yeah. But God gave him these verses. He gave him these verses, and he said, "These are for you. This is for your ministry. This is for your church. This is for your ministry. And these are verses that you're going to be able to stand on for the rest of your life." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, throughout these 50 years. Pastor Sonny and the elders have been passing on this vision. They've been passing on these promised verses, promised scriptures to us as a church. And we've been able to stand on them, and we've been able to see them bear fruit within our churches and our ministries and in our cities. And so if you've never heard of these, I encourage you to write them down. Amen. Throughout the years, we've added to it. You know, we started off with the first one that we're going to open up with, Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. And then God gave us Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. And then just this past year, God gave us a new one in Isaiah 59, 21. Amen. And that's that third wave. Amen. That's that third wave. So I want to read those to you, starting in Isaiah 45, verse 2 and 3. Let's read. It says, "I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you," NIV says, "hidden treasures." King James Version says, "the treasures out of darkness. Riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name." Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And when I look at this verse, this promise here, I take this personally, because this is what God did for me. Amen. God, he broke down the gates of bronze.
Amen.
And he cut through the bars of iron. Come on, somebody. He did that for me. Amen. When he brought me out of prison. And throughout the years, God has brought many people out of prison, and he's brought them into our homes. When I came to Victory Outreach, when I came to the mental home, I came straight from prison, literally. I was that fresh out, a week out of prison, and I went to the mental home. God took me to the mental home. And that was symbolic that God was breaking the bars. Come on, somebody. And that's what God has done to so many. Amen. To so many. And this is why we believe in prison ministry. Amen. We believe in prison ministry, and we know that God is—he's still doing that. He's still reaching those behind the bars, people like me. Amen. He's still doing that. And then he goes on. I will give you the treasures out of darkness. Some of you weren't in prison, but you were living in a dark lifestyle.
Come on, somebody.
You were in that dark, that dark club. You were in that dark depression. You were in that dark suicidal thoughts. You were in that dark room with the bottle. You were in that dark room, come on somebody, with the drugs. But you know, when everybody else seen a drug addict, when everybody else seen a lost cause, you know what God seen? A treasure. He seen a treasure. So he pulled you out of that darkness and he brought you into his marvelous light. Amen. And you know, and that's not all. He says that's a promise that he's given to Victory Arch. He's going to give us the treasure out of darkness. Amen. And he's been doing that. He's been doing that. Many of us were treasures out of darkness. All of us here. All of us. Doesn't matter what your background is. You were in a dark. It may not have been in the darkness like mine, but you still were in a dark place. Amen. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. Turn the page to Isaiah 54. This is the second part of the promise. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. This is the second part of the promise. This is the second part. Somebody say second part.
Second part.
Isaiah 45 was the first part. Isaiah 54 is the second part. Listen to what it says. It says, enlarge the place of your tents. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. This is, again, another promise God gave to us as a ministry. What is this promise about? This is a promise of growth.
Amen.
This is the promise of expansion.
Yes.
This is a promise that God is saying, not only am I going to give you the treasures out of darkness, but I'm going to give you so many treasures that you're going to have to make room for that growth.
Right.
And I'm going to strengthen you. How are you going to do this? You're going to do this because I'm going to strengthen you.
Yes.
And not this promise is not just for you, but I got good news. He says, your descendants, that means our children, come on somebody, are going to be saved and serve God. And there's room in this promise for our children. I'm blessed as I see every Friday my son Frankie behind the drums. That just blesses my heart because that's part of the promise. Come on somebody. But you know what? The promises of God are so good that it doesn't even end there. It doesn't even end with Frankie. Come on somebody.
Amen.
The third part of the promise, Isaiah 59. Turn to Isaiah 59 now. This is the third part, the last part, the third part. Isaiah 59, verse 21. This is the third part of the promise. It says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. So, covenant means a promise. Huh? With us. He says, my spirit who is on you. Huh? How many know the Spirit of God is on us?
Yes.
He says, will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips. But that's not it. On the lips of your children and on the lips of their descendants.
Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? That means my children's children. That means Frankie's children. Come on, somebody. Timmy's children.
Yeah.
Not my daughter's, even. I'm just kidding. Trying to keep him from me now. But isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Huh? From this time on and forever, says the Lord.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor there's room in this vision. Tell your neighbor there's room in this promise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that you bless it to our hearts. Lord, help me to communicate here tonight, Lord. Lord, would you put it on my heart, God? Have your way, Holy Spirit. Move in this place. Solidify the vision. Solidify the promise. The promises of God in our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody says,
amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated in the house of God. Thank you, worship team. for over 50 years.
Come on, man.
Come on.
The vision has continued.
Yes, man.
For over 50 years. The vision has continued.
Amen.
And the vision has not lost strength.
Amen.
It has not lost any power.
Come on.
Well, it has not lost any momentum.
Come on.
Matter of fact, it keeps on getting more stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
And stronger.
Yes.
And stronger.
Yes.
My pastor said this. He says, the only way the vision can continue is if we continue.
Come on.
Huh?
Right.
The vision continues through us.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, through us.
Through us.
That's how the vision continues. From descendant to descendant, from generation to generation.
Come on.
The vision will continue through us. But tonight, I want to share with you, and I'm going to try to go through these things real fast. I want to share with you why the vision will continue to continue.
Oh, come on now.
Why the vision will continue to continue. And I got 10 points here, so let me get started. First point, the first reason why the vision will continue is because we are a vision-driven ministry.
Amen.
We are a vision-driven ministry, and the gasoline inside of us is the Holy Ghost. We're a vision-driven ministry that knows that God wants to do greater things. Last Sunday, I shared with you the vision of our local church.
Right?
There, it's there on the screen. This is our vision statement that God has given us. That Victory Outreach Grand Prairie is committed to raising up 100 leaders for the purpose of reaching the lost to Christ. There's a purpose for it. We do this through effective training in our ministries, in our discipleship homes, and in our communities. See, there's a purpose behind that vision statement. It says who we are. We're Victory Outreach of Grand Prairie. Come on. Are you proud of being VOGP? Huh? Is this home for you? We're Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. Huh? We're part of an overall international movements.
Right.
We're not a fly-by-night ministry.
Come on.
We've been, this year we're going to celebrate 10 years in the city. This year we're going to be celebrating 10 years of giving the devil a black eye, of winning souls, of praising God, of being in the will of God. That's who we are. And we're committed to raising up these 100 leaders. Why? Because we know it takes leaders to lead people to Jesus. It takes leaders to lead people to Jesus and to disciple them and to train them.
Right.
And so we do this through the method of our ministries, the ministries that we have. We just don't have them just to take up time. We just don't have them just to do something. No, my friend, we have the gang ministry, which is our youth ministry that is busy with our young people. Every Sunday night, they're preaching to our young people. They're leading our teenagers and our young adults and our junior hires. They're leading them to Jesus. They're leading them to the altar. They're leading them into prayer. They're preaching to them. They're showing them how to serve God for life. They're showing them how to walk through the minds of high school, how to be careful with the minds of junior high, that the traps of the enemy, and they're teaching them to serve Christ. Tonight, the gang girls are having a gang girl sleepover, and listen, they're just not going to go and have a pizza party, but there's going to be discipleship. The leaders are going to pour themselves in to those young ladies to tell them that God loves them and to tell them that they're the future of our ministry. Tomorrow we're going to gather with all the men, but not just the men. It's a men and gang warriors. Are the gang warriors going to be there? Are the gang warriors in the house? Because we understand that it's not just for the adults, but it's for the next
generation. We're in this for the long haul. We know that we may not be here forever, so we're training and we're raising up another generation that's going to come up behind us, and they're going to serve God, and they're going to continue this vision. We'll be there, and the gang warriors will be there.
Amen.
We're going to be there teaching them to pray.
Come on.
Teaching them to grab a hold of God.
Yeah.
Leading by example as we worship, they worship.
Yes.
We're a vision-driven ministry. All our ministries have purpose. Our men's ministry. We're going to get ready to start our mobilizing men of purpose discipleships. The United Women in Ministry are going to start their women's discipleships, women's level trainings. Our ministries like the worship team ministry and the life group ministry and the life flow ministry and all the ministries that we have, ushering, greeter, kids get, the teachers are teaching our children. Come on, somebody. They're teaching them to worship Jesus. It blesses me when I see little children worship Jesus because I know they're learning that in the back. Come on, somebody. Our kids gang teachers are the teachers in the house that love our kids gang, that love that next generation. They know that they're right behind the gang. Come on, somebody. Our kids are coming right behind the gang.
I believe the children is our future.
We're a vision-driven ministry.
Amen.
We know that God wants to do greater things through us.
Amen.
And we understand we have a mission statement here in Victory Outreach Team. Now, our mission statement is our international mission statement. This vision statement is our local vision statement, but our mission statement is our international mission statement. And it says that Victory Outreach is an international, again, it shows who we are, church-oriented Christian ministry, called to the task of what? Evangelizing and discipling the hurting people of the world. Doesn't it sound the same as a horse? It's the same thing. That's where we get it from. With the message of hope and plan of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This call involves a commitment. There's that word again. We're committed to this.
Yes.
We're in this all way. Well, I mean, we're all in. Come on, somebody. Is anybody all in? I don't know about you, but I'm all in. I was all in for the devil. Come on, somebody. When I was a gang member and I used to be out there banging on wax. Come on, somebody. I was out there gang banging, set tripping. I was all in for my neighborhood. Why can't I be all in for Jesus? Why can't I be all in if I was willing to do life and do time? Come on, somebody, for the devil. How much more should I be willing to lay my life down and be totally committed to God? This call involves a commitment to what? To plants. And develop churches and training centers in strategic cities of the world. That's what Victory Outreach International has been doing, and that's what we're continuing to do. We've done that. We're getting ready to launch out churches. It says Victory Outreach inspires and instills within people the desire to fulfill their potential in life. With a sense of dignity, belonging, and destiny, Victory Outreach works cooperatively with others of mutual purpose in accomplishing the task before us. This is our mission. We're a vision-driven ministry. Listen, this is a big vision. This is a big mission that God has given us. This is why, as a people, we need to elevate our vision. We need to elevate. What does elevate mean? Elevate means to go up. Elevate means to go up. Listen, if you want to have a better view of the city, you got to go up. If you want to have a better view of the city, you got to go up. And listen, our vision got to go up. Our vision has to be elevated so we can have a better view of what God wants to do. Because sometimes when we're just down here, we just see what everybody else sees. But what God wants to do is He wants to elevate your vision. He wants to take you to a higher place. And the only way you get to that higher place, I'm going to tell you how you can elevate your vision. Your vision is elevated when you spend time in prayer. prayer, my friend. When you begin to pray and you begin to set your mind on the things that are on high, all of a sudden you start to worry. You stop worrying about the earthly things. You stop worrying about the lowly things. Because you've been in prayer and God has shown you that you don't have to worry about those things. I got those things. If you focus on what I have for you, you're going to see that what I have for you is bigger and better. We need to elevate our vision.
Come on.
You got to ask yourself, is my vision big enough in proportion with what God wants to do in my life?
Good,
do you know that you serve a big God?
Yes.
God is a big God. Yes. I mean, I when I look at his creation, when I look at his works, I mean, when you just spend some time in nature. Come on, somebody. You'll see when you look up tomorrow morning, look up and look up to the sky and look at the vastness of the sky. Who can create such a creation? Nothing but Jesus, nothing but a creator that is big and that is awesome. And listen, let me tell you something. He is used to making big things, and God wants to do something big in your life. So when you look at your goals and when you look at your plan for life and when you look at your vision, is it compared to the size of your God's? See, sometimes what happens is that our circumstances begin to shrink our vision.
Wow.
Our circumstances, the problems of life, the problems that begin to surround us. Has problems ever surrounded you?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It's like that song. It's like that song that we sing. Come on. It may look like I'm surrounded. And sometimes it seems like we're surrounded. And sometimes we get so excited. We get so pumped up. And we're like, yeah, God wants to do something big in my life. And God's going to do great things in my life. And you get all excited for about a week or a couple of days. But then all of a sudden the devil comes knocking at your door. All of a sudden problems and circumstances and life begins to happen. And all of a sudden, if you're not careful, that can shrink your vision. Those problems can shrink your vision. But you got to be determined to say, devil, not today. I still know that I serve a big God. I still have faith that my God is bigger than my problems. Quit telling God about your problems. Come on, somebody. Come on, begin to tell your problems about your God. Because you serve a big God. And whenever sometimes what happens is that our problems and our circumstances, they begin to shrink our vision. We got to think big. Tell your neighbor, think big. See, and this is why our vision constantly needs to be enlarged. Our vision constantly has to be. This is why it's important that we constantly preach messages like this. Huh? My prayer is that your vision will be enlarged. That you'll look past the smallness of things and begin to enlarge your vision. That's what Isaiah 54 says. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide because you're going to spread out to the right and to the left. God is saying, I'm about to do something big in the midst of you. But you listen, what first needs to be enlarged before God does it in the physical, he has to do it in the spiritual. Before he does it on the outside, he has to do it on the inside. Before he does it in other people's hearts, he has to do it in your hearts. Vision needs to be enlarged. You know what helps our vision being enlarged? When we go to conferences. Going to conferences and going to revivals and going to discipleships and going to regionals, they enlarge our vision. See, you got to understand that with limited vision, little is done and little is accomplished. But when you have an unlimited vision, you can do more. You can do a lot. See, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I want you to turn there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Listen to what God says here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He says this. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. What is this saying? This saying that Jesus, he had his power enables us. It's the power of Jesus that enables us, because you might be thinking to yourself, I can do this. I can fulfill the vision. I can do what God called me to do. Listen, it's not your power. It's not your strength, but it is his strength that's going to do it. Listen, don't lean upon your own strength, but learn to lean upon the strength of God, because it is his power that's going to bring it to pass. So, the question is how much do you choose to believe God for?
Wow.
How much do you choose to believe God for? Listen, if we can believe God to save the drug addict and to save the gang member, we can believe. Can't we believe God for greater things in our life? If God did it for them because we prayed for them, how much more will God answer our prayers when we begin to have big faith and say, God, listen, I'm going to dream up something. I'm gonna step out on a limb and I'm going to believe you for great things. We're a vision-driven ministry. Secondly, the vision will continue because we are a ministry of faith.
Yeah, come on, Pastor.
We are a ministry of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
Come on. Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Word of God says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Come on.
You want to please God? You got to exercise your faith.
There it is.
But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know what I see out here tonight in this congregation? I see people that are earnestly seeking him. I see people that were here last Sunday. I see people that were here on Wednesday. I see people that are here from Friday night. Why? Because you're earnestly seeking God. Come on, somebody. Some of you here were here for prayer. Some of you, you're going to stay for the all night for the prayer meeting, the International Prayer Watch. Why? Because we're a people that's earnestly seeking him. And I'm here to tell you, if you're one of those, if you're counted in that number, I'm here to tell you that God, not me, but the scripture says, the Bible says that God rewards those type of people, because it's those type of people that are displaying their faith. Your faith is displayed when you seek him. When you came to church, I want you to know that your faith was on display because you came to the house of God, my friend. And listen, don't give up on coming to the house of God, because I'm here to tell you that something's happening. Change is coming. You're a new man. You're a new woman. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want, if you're bringing people, keep on bringing them, because even though it seems like nothing's happening, something's happening, because while they're in the presence of God, you're seeking God. See, faith is visualizing the future in the present. Faith is visualizing the future in the presence.
Amen.
Sometimes you just got to sit there and daydream. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
And it may not look good right now.
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Things may not seem bright right now.
Come on.
But you got to sometimes visualize the future.
Yeah.
In the presence. Your future in God. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You got to visualize that in the presence. And as you begin to visualize that, all of a sudden something begins to happen inside of you. All of a sudden you see yourself working towards that. All of a sudden you see yourself walking towards that. And as you continue to walk towards that, one day you're going to look up and you're going to be living in the future. You have to believe in order to see it. You got to be able to believe. You got to be able to believe in order to see it come to pass within your life. See, I want you to know that God, he's not a detailed person.
Right.
He just says, do it. He just says, go for it. But see, the problem is that we people, we want to know the details. We want to know how you're going to do it. We want to know every step. But God ain't into the details. What did Jesus tell Peter? When Peter said, Jesus, that is you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. He didn't give him all what was going to happen. He just gave him one word, come. He didn't tell him how he was going to cause him not to die in the ocean or in the lake. He just said, come.
That's right.
He told Abraham in Genesis, he says, go to a land that I will show you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Go to a land that I will show you. Tell me first. Give me the address, the zip code, the street name, something. So I can at least put it in the Google. Come on now. Tell me the state, the city. He just said, go to the land. I'm going to show you. As you go, I'll show.
That's right.
As you go, I'll show. As you go, I'll show. But we are like, no, wait. We got to figure things out. Wait, hold up. See, God don't give you all the details at the beginning. See, this is why it takes faith.
That's right.
It takes faith. You just got to believe God and step out. When God says go, you go.
Right.
God says go, you go. You step out in faith.
Yeah.
And as you go, he'll show. As you go, he'll show it to you. See, faith always involves stepping out into God's will.
Right.
It always involves stepping out into God's will for your life. Listen, you gotta, if you really love God, man, you gotta take the will of God serious. You got to watch every move you make. Come on, somebody. You're just not a person that just, man, you know, you pray. Come on now. You pray and like, okay, man, is this God really speaking that I'm going to step out in faith?
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
See, God wants you to obey even when you don't understand it. That's faith. Because a lot of things you're not going to understand.
Right.
You're not going to understand. There's a lot of things I didn't understand when I came to God. I didn't even like about giving. I didn't understand it, but I said, God, if that's what the Bible says, I read it in the scripture, then praise the Lord. I don't understand it, but I'm gonna give it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give my tithe.
Yeah.
And you know what God began to do? He began to bring revelation.
Yeah.
Huh? He began to bring revelation. And he began and all of a sudden the blessings of God started to come. He showed me through revelation how he always comes through.
Yeah.
That's right.
God wants you to believe. Even when you don't see it. See, that's faith. That's faith. Is to believe it even when you don't see it. And sometimes, you know, God has to get us to a place of that faith. He has to get us to that place of having that type of faith. There's a process. There's a time where there's a molding that God is doing within our lives. He begins to mold us. This is called the process that God is molding us and shaping us. This is why we come a little apprehensive. We may, we're like testing the waters to see if the water's cold. Come on, if you're going to a pool and you're like, is the pool warm or is it cold? Because that's going to determine if I'm going to get in or not. Huh? And sometimes it takes a little time. God says, and he has to work on our faith. He has to work on our fears. And it's during those times that God is molding you. He's shaping you. See, faith turns vision into reality. Faith turns vision into reality. What is a vision for your marriage? What is a vision for your children? What is a vision for your ministry? What is a vision for your future? It's going to take faith to accomplish it.
That's right.
What is the vision for you as a single man, as a single woman? What is the vision?
Yeah.
Without a vision, the people perish.
We wonder
why sometimes some people struggle. It's probably because they haven't got a vision for their life from God. And this is why Victory Church is so successful with men and women that come like that. Why? Because we're able to fall into under the house vision. We're able to accept the vision that is within this ministry, and we personalize it, and we accept it, and we take it personal, and we say, you know what, this vision is for me. Yeah, I'm going to take part of it. And all of a sudden, as we take part of it, we begin to walk in it, and all of a sudden God brings it to pass.
Amen.
But it takes faith to turn vision into reality.
Yes.
See, faith is obeying even when you don't understand it. And the vision's going to continue. Why is the vision going to continue? Because God is always raising up people of faith. God is always raising up people of faith. Listen, some of you paying your pledges, that takes faith. Come on, somebody. That is faith. You're stepping out in faith. Some of you being used by God, you're stepping out by faith. God is always raising up people of faith. The third reason why the vision will continue is because we are a ministry that we are a value-driven ministry. We have values. We have values and we have convictions. You know where we get our values from? The Word of God. We're a value-driven ministry. We're just not here just existing. But we have a purpose on why we exist. We have values. I believe everybody should have values. You know, people that don't have values, they don't respect themselves. They don't have dignity. Young ladies, they don't have values. They don't respect themselves. And so because they don't respect themselves, other people won't respect them. See? But in our ministry, we teach to have values and principles. A value of holiness, a value of the Word of God, a value to live by the Word of God, a value to have integrity and honesty and righteousness within our lives. That is a value. We value the Word of God, that we just don't read it, but we obey it. It is a value that we have, a value to be a holy people, a chosen people. It is a value and a conviction that we have.
That's right. Amen.
We're value driven, and our values come from the Word of God.
Right.
And that's why, listen, God loves people that have values.
Yeah.
God loves a church that has values.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Listen, there's some ministries, churches, they don't have values. Come on, somebody. But we have values here.
Amen.
We have values in this ministry. We have conviction in this ministry.
Right.
Number four is that the reason why we're going to continue, and this vision is going to continue, is because we're a family-oriented ministry.
Amen.
We believe in family. Amen. Somebody say family.
Family.
Say it in Spanish, familia.
Familia.
Say somos familia.
Somos familia.
We're family.
Familia.
Huh? Tell your neighbor, what's up, kinfolk?
What's up, kinfolk?
Huh? We're kinfolk, man.
Kinfolk.
Huh? We're family. You know, we're a ministry that we are family oriented. We believe in staying connected.
Amen.
We believe in staying connected. We believe in having good fellowship. We believe that we're a family. That we call each other's brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have spiritual parents. We have spiritual parents which are our pastors. We have spiritual grandparents. Come on, somebody. I have a spiritual father. My spiritual father is my pastor, Pastor Jesse Perez. He's my spiritual father. I have a spiritual mother, Sister Valerie Perez. I have a spiritual grandpa. You have a spiritual grandpa. That's Pastor Jesse Perez. I have a spiritual grandpa. That's Pastor Ed Morales. He went on to be with the Lord.
Come on.
Right.
We have a great legacy. Why? Because we're family.
That's right.
So many people come into our church. They come in without family.
Yeah.
Huh? They come into our homes. They come into our women's home. And sometimes they don't have no family. But this is why it's so important that we're a family. This is why it's so important that we learn to be family. That we learn to be tight. That we learn to pray for each other. That we learn to love each other. Because that's what's going to attract people. When they see the love that we have for one another. That yeah, we may have disagreements. Yeah, we may bump heads. What family don't? But at the end of the day, we're family. At the end of the day, we go to war together. We go to bat for each other. At the end of the day, we're there to pray for each other. We're there to encourage one another. At the end of the day, family is all we got. Somebody, man, you're more family sometimes than my real family.
That's right.
I spend more time with you.
Hello,
somebody.
You ain't lying.
Huh? We're family. We're family. Huh? She says that because she's my spiritual daughter.
Amen.
Huh? We're family, right, Mija? She's a spiritual daughter. Amen. She lives. I try to claim her every year on my taxes. It ain't happened. Amen. But I wish I could. Hello, somebody. Cause she. Never mind.
Don't do it.
I bet be cool. But I should have told my tax guy. I said, you know, I got like five other people living with me.
Yeah, come on,
back. Hello, amen. We're family. Tell your neighbor, we're family. We're family. We got to stay connected. And we need to understand that it's okay that we're a good, you know, that this is our local family. But I'm not here to tell you that you're part of a bigger family. That you may just see us here 70, 80, 100 on Sundays or whatever. But I want you to know that you got a bigger family. And you got family all over the world. You got family in California. You got family in New York. You got family in Mexico, in Panama, in Salvador, in South Africa, in Asia. You got family in Europe. You got family in the Philippines. You got family in Germany. You got family in Dallas and in Fort Worth. We are a big family. The devil better not mess with us, because if he messes with one, he messes with all. This is why tonight in the prayer service, we're locking arms in the spiritual realm with our family all over the world. And we stay connected through our conferences. This is why it's important that you get registered to go to World Conference. You get your plane ticket. You get your hotel booked so that we can go to World Conference. And while we're at it as a family, let's go to Disney World. Or Disneyland, right? What's it called? Disneyland's right next to the conference this year.
Yes.
Or the conference is right next to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Huh? Wouldn't that be great? Amen. The whole family. But listen, we're a family-oriented ministry. And we stay connected with our international family when we go to these conferences.
Yeah.
And then you get to see your brothers from all over the world.
That's right.
You get to see your sisters from all over the world. And you know what? You look around and say, man, they look just like us.
Hey.
You know, whenever Victory Outreach comes to the town, they know VO is in town.
Woo!
I mean, they already know us in Ontario. Huh? Come on, the Ontario Convention, we go there how many times a year? It's like, oh, Victory Outreach is in town. Now, you know, we got a little better over the years. Because when we first started having our conferences, we'd be getting kicked out of all the hotels. This was at the beginning. You know, because we come from the streets, we come from the ghetto, from the neighborhood, and some of our people did not know how to act in the hotel. They were jumping into the pool with all their clothes on. Yeah. Because they were like, holy. They were like, no, I ain't taking my clothes off, but I want to get in the pool. And the girls were like, I ain't going to show the brothers anything. So they jumped into the pool with all their clothes on. And the hotel people started saying, well, hey, you gotta have a bathing suit or shorts or something. Shorts to go swimming in.
Swimming trunks.
And then sometimes, yeah, swimming trunks, there you go. And then people, and then, you know, you go to the room and the people will be jumping on the beds. They know how to act. We've grown, though. Come on, somebody. Our vision has elevated. Huh? We know how to act now. Come on, somebody. We still drink up all the coffee.
Hello.
Eat up all the donuts. Hello, somebody. Huh? Come on, they try to, you don't have the hotels do the buffet, right? They don't know what hit them when VO comes to town. Huh? Especially when the men's home's in that hotel. You better get down to that breakfast buffet before the men's home wakes up. And they wake up early. Huh? We're family-oriented ministry. Number five, let me hurry up. We are disciple. Number five is that the vision will continue because we are a discipleship-based ministry.
Yes.
We are a discipleship-based ministry. Listen, that's the reason why we have LifeFlow. That's the reason why we're into raising up 100 leaders. Why? Because we're into discipling people. We just don't want somebody to say the sinner's prayer and just leave them alone. A lot of people do that. They just leave them in the sinner's prayer, but then that's it. You know what I call that? We call that spiritual abortion. Committing spiritual abortion. You just birth them into the kingdom, but then you just leave them. What do you think is going to happen to a baby that is left just by itself? It's going to die. That baby needs a midwife. That baby needs a mama and a daddy and some brothers and a sister and a home. That's discipleship, my friend. Then listen, it's not just about leading them in the sinner's prayer, but now it's about taking that next step. Come on, somebody. Now that you're saved, the next step, you got to get into the newcomer's life flow. The next step is you got to go through the phases of life flow. The next step is that you got to get yourself under a leader. The next step is you got to get yourself connected to a life group, a Bible study. That's the next step. You got to continue to come to church if you want to grow, if you don't want to die. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die. I don't think you want to die. So keep on taking the next step, and those steps are the steps of discipleship.
Yes.
Amen.
We are a discipleship-based ministry.
Yes.
We are committed to multiplication.
Hey.
We don't die.
That's right.
We don't die.
Multiply.
We multiply. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. It's to get you to lead somebody to the Lord and say, you know what? Once you lead them to the Lord right there at that corner, right there at that gas station, you say, you know what? Let me get your number so I can pick you up for church. Let me get your number so I can pick you up for church. I got a ride. Well, let me get your number so I can call you to remind you about church. And you there on Sunday morning, you're calling them, you're picking them up. It's 8:30, it's time to go to the 9 o'clock service, but they may not come to the 9 o'clock service because sinners sleep in. So that's why we have an 11 a.m. service. Come on, somebody. We're street smart in Victory Outreach, so we know let's push the service a little bit later because sinners don't get up early. They get up with a little bit of hangover, so you gotta give them time to eat their menudo. Once they have their menudo, then they bring them to the house of God and then bring them early for prayer. And don't just let them sit there, but get them and say, come on, we're going to pray now. And you get them and you bring them to the altar and they don't know how to pray. But because you know how to pray, you say, kneel down next to me. I'm going to teach you to pray. I don't know how to pray. I'm going to teach you to pray. I've never prayed before. That's all right. Just listen to me pray. And as you listen to me pray, eventually you'll learn how to pray. Just say what I say. Repeat what I say. And all of a sudden they're learning how to pray. Listen, if you pray, you stay. So you're teaching them to stay. You're teaching them to let their roots run down deep. Then after that you say, okay, prayer's over. It's time. They're going to open up service. Now I'm going to teach you how to praise. Hello, somebody. I'm going to teach you how to clap your hands. Because you don't know how to clap your hands. You know how to drop it in the club. But you don't know how to clap your hands in the church. Come on, somebody. I'm going to teach you how to clap your hands in church. I'm going to teach you how to lift your hands in church. I'm going to teach you how to close your eyes. Why do I got to lift my hands? You got to lift your hands because it's a sign of surrenderance. It's a sign that you're saying, God, I give up my life. I surrender my life. Take me in. You remember how you did it like that when the police said, put your hands in the air? That was a sign of you giving up. And you said, take me in. Lock me up. Well, when you lift up your hands, that's what you're saying. You're saying, God, take me in to the heaven of heaven. Take me into your presence. God, I am your servant. You begin to teach them to worship. Then you teach them how to carry a Bible. You got a Bible? No, I ain't got a Bible. Well, let me go get you a Bible. Let me go to Margo's and buy you a Bible. I'll even buy you one and put your name on it. Let me get you your first Bible, and I'll sign that Bible for you. It's discipleship. Well, I don't know where to start. Where do I start? Well, don't start in the heavy revy. Because all the new believers, oh, revelations. Huh? They want to get involved in the heavy revy. Say, no. You need to go to the book of John. You need to go to the book of love. Come on, somebody. You need to get the gospels in you. You need to get Jesus in you. Discipleship. And on the list goes of what discipleship is. Number six, the vision will continue because we are committed to dignity. We are committed to dignity. Dignity. We are a ministry of dignity.
Yes. Yes.
What is dignity? You know, people come in without dignity.
Yeah.
This happens in our homes all the time. Yeah. People come in, they haven't taken a shower in a month. They haven't brushed their teeth in I don't know how long.
Come on now.
They don't care their home. They don't care how they look. They come in with no dignity.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Then all of a sudden we say, you know what? You got to have dignity. I know the devil's beat you up, but listen, it's not over.
Yeah.
He should have killed you when he had a chance, but now God has a hold of your life, and now God's going to turn you around, and now God is going to put some dignity inside of you, and now you're going to care how you look. Now you're going to hold you don't have to walk with your head down no more. You ain't got to let the devil have you in a depressed mode no more, and look down and kick the can and say, woe is me. No, God is going to teach you to lift your head up high and walk with some dignity in your life, knowing that you are a child of God. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that has been chosen by God. God chose you and called you by name. So therefore you have some dignity in your life. We're committed to putting dignity inside of our people. We believe in keeping a self-image. This is why, listen, on Sunday mornings we teach our guys in the home, we teach our people in the church, come suited and booted.
Yeah.
I never wore a suit in my life. I wore a bandana hanging out my back pocket, saggy pants, come on somebody, Dickies, a polo shirt. I was a gang member, but I never put on a suit.
Hello.
Then I came to Victory, they put a suit on me. So, I don't like this. Come on, somebody.
the suit didn't even fit. But you know what? When I put it on, I did feel a little like, come on, somebody. Better watch out, businessman coming through. Better watch out. Come on, somebody. I'm dressed better than the preacher this morning. Come on now. I see some people that all of a sudden they come in with and it causes them to, they all of a sudden they have a self-image about themselves. You know what? I'm better. You know what? I could do this. You know what? I look good in this suit, man. Maybe I can get a job that I can wear a suit one day to work. You know why other churches sometimes they don't wear suits? Because those are some of the probably the white collar and blue collar churches, and they wear suits all week to their jobs. So then when comes the weekend, they don't want to put on a suit. So they go to church in their shorts and flip-flops. And maybe that's okay for them. Praise God. You know, if you're going to come to church in your flip-flops and shorts, doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. And I don't mean that. But we teach our people to have dignity. We teach our girls to come on, somebody. I know last week I kind of messed up and I talked about Victoria's Secret, and she doesn't know how to keep a secret. I said, well, what was I thinking? She don't know how to keep a secret? Huh? But some of us late, we came in like that. We didn't know how to keep a secret either. Wow. Come on, showing everything mama gave you. But then all of a sudden we come and we learn how to be dignified. Yeah. So you know what? Yeah. Come on now. We learn how to cover up and say, you know what, I can still be classy.
Yeah.
Huh? I can still be classy. I can still look good. But with some dignity. I ain't got to show everything. Come on, so I can keep a secret. Hello, somebody. Because we get dignified. But we can never get too dignified.
Hello.
I said we can never get too dignified. That we don't praise God at the altar. That we don't know how to, you know, I don't ever want to get too dignified that we get all of a sudden we withhold our praise. We withhold being in the presence of the Lord. We withhold a shouting to God. We withhold the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit wants to move in our service. You better clip them heels off real fast. You better untie that tie real fast and learn, thank God that I got a suit to wear. But I ain't gonna let no suit stop my praise. I ain't gonna let no heel stop my praise. I still know how to work my feet. I still know how to praise God at the altar. I still know how to get down in the Holy Ghost. Well, I ain't no dignified preacher, if you know that.
I see you.
I don't care. And I'm not dancing for you. And I'm not praising for you. I'm praising for the audience of one. I'm praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who saved me, who redeemed me. You may not understand my praise because you don't understand where I came from. You don't understand the jail cell he pulled me out of. You don't understand the time I was facing. But when you understand, when I think about the Lord and what he's done for me, it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to dance. It makes me want to scream. Got time to get too dignified. We're discipleship ministry. We give Jesus our very best. Number seven, we strive to be self-sustaining ministry. We strive to be a self-sustaining ministry. Self-sustaining, where we ain't getting help from the government. We've never gotten help from the government. And we ain't looking for help from the government. You know, the government, they wanted to give Pastor Sonny help. They wanted to give him millions of dollars for our homes. Pastor Sonny turned it down. He turned it down. Because he said, you know what, we're not going to rely on the government's help. We're relying on God. And we're going to rely on the principles that God teaches us to build a ministry by. And the reason why Pastor Sonny said this, because he understood what happens if the government one day wants to hold back the funds. Then we're tied. We're sitting there with our hands tied.
Yeah.
says, you know what, we're not going to do it like that. We're going to do it the way the Word of God teaches. And the way the Word of God teaches for us to sustain ourselves as a church, as a ministry, is that we support our ministry through tithes and offerings, and united we can. The way this ministry is supported is through the giving of God's faithful people. It's through the giving of God's people that love God and love each other, and they love each other enough to give and to sow their seed in the house of God, to take care of the house of God, so that we can continue to reach the world for God's honor and glory. We're not looking for a handout. We're looking for the blessings of God. And we do this as we're faithful in our tithes, faithful in our pledges, faithful in our united we can, faithful in sacrifice. God blesses His people when we step out and give. This is why last week we took up pledges.
Right.
Maybe you didn't get a chance to take up a pledge last week. So we're going to give you that opportunity today.
Yes.
We're going to, if you didn't get a chance to take up a pledge last week, but you say, I want to take a pledge today. If that's you, just raise your hand and the usher will give you an envelope.
Come on now.
I'm not going to stop my preaching, but if you want to do that, Angel has, if you didn't come last Sunday, but you're here tonight, say, you know what, I want to be a part of the pledge.
Yeah.
I believe. You could raise your hand,
yes,
and the usher will give you an envelope. All right? He's going to bring a bucket up here at the altar call. You can come put the your envelope in there. There's another hand back here. Ushers, there's a box. It's self-explanatory. You could pledge $2,000, $1,000, or $500. Just check off that box.
Amen.
And then we pledge like that. You know why? There's so many of the people that stepped out to pledge.
That's right.
You know why? Because we got this vision.
Yeah.
We know that, you know what? God's going to bless us. And we're going to, we love our church. We love the vision.
Yes,
and we're
going to
continue this vision through our giving.
Amen.
The eighth thing is that we're inner city focused. We go to where the need's at.
Yes, sir.
The worship team can come up. You know, let me tell you this. Just this week, you know, there's been so many, I've been hearing about so many murders.
Yeah.
This weekend, a teenager was killed in Arlington. Yesterday, I did. 16 years old. Shot dead after school. Again this week, down the street here in Grand Prairie, another 16-year-old shot dead. They say he was trying to stop a bully. He stood up to a bully, and they shot him. 16 years old. I thank God that God raised us up for such a time as this. I thank God that God put us here strategically.
Yes.
God put us here strategically, church.
That's right.
Strategically.
Yep.
God knew, maybe I didn't know what He was doing, but God knew what He was doing.
Yeah.
Maybe, Pastor Jesse, we didn't really know, but God knew what He was doing.
Right.
And He put us here for such a time as this, because there's a need. Victory Outreach is in the right place.
Yes.
And we're the answer.
Right.
I've been thinking about that earlier. I was like, God, with our vision statement, it says that we're going to raise up leaders through our ministries, our discipleship homes, and through our communities.
Right.
You know what that means? That God wants to raise up community leaders.
Yeah.
I believe that, listen, through our church, that some of you, God's going to raise you up to be leaders. You're going to volunteer your time at the schools. How are we going to reach our schools if we don't invade our schools?
Right.
The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth.
Right.
And I believe God is going to raise up some people. God is going to bring men out of the home, women out of the home, people out of the church. And they're not only are they going to be leaders in the house of God, but they're going to be leaders in their communities.
Right.
And we're going to be able to... God shows us these things because He wants us to do something about it.
Right.
And listen, who best to reach out those people that were out there committing those violence? That used to be us. That could have been us when we were 16. Because we were doing the same thing they were doing at that age. God, we're an inner city focused ministry. We go where the need is at. Tomorrow, we're going to go do rallies right there where they killed those kids. That's where we're going to go. That's where we're going to go. We're going to go to those places. And we're going to declare that that territory does not belong to Satan. That territory belongs to Jesus. We're going to take that place for Jesus.
That's right.
We're going to declare that place holy grounds. If they won't come to church, we'll take church to them. That's in our name, Victory Outreach. This is why we can't get comfortable and complacent. The children of Israel became comfortable and complacent in the wilderness. We can't get comfortable. We always got to keep the devil on the run. And let me tell you something. He's going to hit. He's going to hit the church. He's going to hit people. People are going to fall off. But I learned this. We learn how to, if we can take it, if we can give a hit, we better be prepared to take a hit. But it's okay. Because God has taught us how to take a hit. So we got to always be inner city focused. Number nine, we're committed to church planting. We need to continue to plant more churches. We're going to get ready to launch out Pastor Josh and Asenet to Irving. We're going to plant them there, but we need more pastors to raise up. We need more. Where are the next pastors? Where's the next city takers? I'm looking for the next city takers. I'm looking for that next couple, man. I'm looking for that next man of God who's going to take Betty serious. I'm looking for that next leader that you're going to grow in your leadership, and you're going to have a good testimony in the church and outside the church, so that you can have a good testimony, so that you are a person that is applicable to go out and take a city and continue the vision that God has given us. Need more church planters to raise up. I'm looking towards the gang. I'm looking towards the third wave. I'm looking towards the homes. I'm looking towards the church. And I'm looking for men and women that got the goods. I know that you may feel like you ain't got it right now, but listen, we'll disciple you. We'll train you, my God. That's what we've been doing with Pastor Josh. Come on, somebody. If God did it for him, God will do it for you. If God did it for me, he'll do it for you. There's a purpose. That's the bigger vision that we're talking about. Come on, somebody. Life is bigger than just you and your family. There's a hurting world out there. It's a hurting world out there. And we have the answer. The kingdom of God is within us. But we got to get it out of us. We got to get it out of us. Me and my wife, when we came to Arlington 10 years ago, it was just a seed in our hearts. None of this was here. We didn't have a worship team. We didn't have a men's home, a women's home, a director, leaders. We didn't have none of that. All we had was this vision. All we had was the seed of the Word of God. All we had is what our pastors had poured into us. All we had were all the preachings that Pastor had preached to us. And all the yellings he yelled at us. I said, well, when I get to my city, I'm just going to do the same thing. I'm going to yell at them. I'm going to give them the vision. I'm going to love them. I'm going to take them to the streets. I'm going to have all night prayer meetings with them. I'm going to disciple them and train them. I'm going to pour into them. I'm going to challenge them. I'm going to teach them to give. I'm going to teach them to preach. I'm going to teach them, pour them, pour myself in, pour myself out. God's going to do it. He's going to continue to raise up more pastors, and we're going to launch out more churches.
That's right.
More churches. We're going to launch out churches. Missionaries. We're going to send out missionaries.
Yes.
We've been talking about it. It's going to happen. You watch. We're going to send out missionaries.
Right.
They're going to go out. Because we're a church planting ministry. We don't believe in being a hog. I just want to keep them all. I just want to grow a mega church. Just be big. I know God's going to give us a big church, but listen. I'd rather launch people out.
Right.
Launch people out so they can start their own work and so that more people can be reached for the honor and glory of God.
Right.
We need to reproduce ourselves. Amen. The last thing, number 10, is that we are a passionate ministry.
Yes,
we are a passionate ministry. You know what passion does? Passion gives people inner fire. Passion gives people inner fire. And you need the fire of God. Come on, somebody. You need the fire of God to stay on fire. You need inner fire. You know what passion does? Passion gives you staying power. Staying power. Listen, the devil's going to come knocking at your door. And you know how he's going to come when you answer that door? With eyelashes. Huh? He's going to come knocking at your door. You know he's going to come? With a six pack. And not of Corona or Bud Dumber. But passion gives you staying power. That won't pull you out. It won't pull you out. You'll stay. You have staying power. You'll have staying power that you want. As soon as you get rebuked, you're not going to get all hurt and fall apart. As soon as you get confronted, you're not going to get all hurt and fall apart.
Right. Yeah, come on.
Because of your passion, because you have a prayer life. Prayer gives you passion.
Yes.
You're able to take things to God. And even though you're hurt, the Holy Spirit will stitch you up. Come on, somebody. And you'll be able to stand. You know how many times I got rebuked, I got dealt with. But because I had this prayer inside of me, this passion inside of me, I said, I'm going to get past this. Devil, you ain't going to move me. I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable. Giving me staying power. Oh my God, you don't know how many times the devil's tried to tip me in my thoughts to pack up my bags and leave.
Yeah, come on.
You know, some people do that. They just leave. But God is giving me staying power. The devil's lied to me like that.
Yeah.
Come on, so can I be honest?
Yeah.
Huh? But I was like, man, this devil is a lie. I start to think about you.
Yeah.
I start to think about you. I said, my God, if I leave, man, what about my people? They're your people, they're not mine. I know they'll continue, but I was like, I can't. Staying power. The devil's lights, but I was like, no, I gotta stay. And you know, it only lasts for a little bit. For anybody.
Yeah.
Even for you. Sometimes the devil will come in and try to get you to lie. Just leave.
Yeah.
Just sneak off, just go.
Yes, it's true.
But it only lasts for a while.
Yeah.
If you learn just to stick it out, it'll pass.
Yeah.
This too will pass. It will pass. So if you're going through that right now, don't let the devil lie to you. Have some staying power and say, no, I'm going to buckle myself down and I'm going to stay. And lastly, passionate people, they get the job done. They get the job done. Passionate people get the job done. And this is why we'll continue, because we're a ministry of passion.
Yep.
And we're going to get this vision done. We're going to raise up 100 leaders.
Right.
We're going to launch out churches.
Yeah.
We're going to continue this vision. We're going to build this church. We're going to grow. Our numbers are going to grow.
Yeah.
We're going to break 150 barriers, 200, 250, 300. God's going to give us another building. We're gonna buy this building, gonna sell this building, buy another building. We're gonna continue to grow and grow, and through that process, we're gonna continue to launch out into the deep. God's gonna continue to raise you up and raise up others. He's gonna raise up your children. Your children, our children are gonna be our future leaders, man. We're gonna be listening to them preach. Ooh, I can't wait because I'm gonna sit there every Friday. I ain't gonna preach no Fridays. I'm gonna see all our kids preach.
Yeah.
They're gonna preach better than me. They're going to preach better than you.
Yeah.
And I praise God. Amen. Passion. Vision-driven ministry. This vision is a good vision. So stay close. Stand to your feet tonight. Lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If God spoke to you tonight, you were stirred up. You took up a pledge. I don't know if they can bring the bucket up here. You can put your envelope in the bucket. But if God spoke to you, then I'm going to open up this altar. I want you to come. Spend some time with Jesus. Just begin to let that vision sink down deep. Let it sink down. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. This vision. There's room in this promise. I see leaders. I see pastors. I see God raising you up. I see God doing a new thing in your life. He's doing a new thing. He's putting a fresh passion, fresh fire. God is refilling you. Yeah. Thank you.
tonight, if you're here and you want to surrender your life to God, you want to give your life to Jesus, you've been hearing this message and you want God's vision for your life to come to pass, the only way it's going to happen is if you surrender your heart to God. Now, if you've been running from God, but tonight you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody here, raise your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you raise your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer. Say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I know you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. And you resurrected from the dead. Today, I open up my heart and I let you in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Show me to serve you. Teach me to read my Bible. To pray. Let me be discipled. I want to grow. I want your vision to come to pass for my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you said that prayer, I want you to know you're saved. You're a Christian. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Heaven's rejoicing. The Bible says that when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. Heaven is rejoicing. Tonight, we're going to continue. The worship team is going to continue to play. We're going to just go straight into our prayer, into our prayer service, into our international prayer service. If you're going to stay, you can find yourself a place in your chair, the altar, and pray. We encourage you to stay. We're only going to be here until midnight. If you want to stay, I encourage you to stay. The worship team is going to continue to sing. If you got to go for whatever reason, then listen, we'll see you Sunday morning. We'll see you Sunday morning. 9 a.m. for the first service, the bilingual service, and 11 a.m. for the second service. But we're going to continue to pray, so I'm going to ask the worship team to continue to sing something special. I encourage you to stay a little while to pray. We're going to be praying. If you want your prayer life to grow, this is a perfect opportunity to stay and pray with us. And then if you are going to leave, I'm going to ask you to exit silently, silently. In reverence for those that are staying to pray. If you're going to stay in prayer, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Come to the altar. Find yourself a place at the altar. Let's press in. Let's press in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Joe, pray.
We want to set the atmosphere for prayer. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.